I'm Julie Subiadura, and I'm the nurse manager of the Tempe River Public Health STD Clinic. So, good morning. And I woke up with a disconnect between my body and my mind, so please forgive me if I say something really goofy and call me on it. Okay, so you'll notice that this presentation is much different than the abstract that you'll see in the book. And what I decided to do is just give you a basic view of what we're actually doing in the triage system and describe it to you. One of the things that's really happened for us is because of technology and that sort of thing, we've had to change the way we do things. A little bit about Denver. We are the largest STI clinic in the Rocky Mountain region. We have done a construction project to adapt our clinic process to the triage system. And right now we've got a waiting room for 54 people, which we try not to have 54 people in there at a time because that gets people unruly and upset. We have a front desk that separates the patient care areas with a door to keep people from wandering around. The front area is triage, registration, and phlebotomy. We've got our on-site stat lab. We've got a charting room, a medication room with a Pyxis, and that is, a Pyxis is used for basically inventory control, and seven exam rooms with tables and one that can only do male exams. Right now, our clinic staff consists of registered nurses, about 4.5 FTEs, although right now I've got people in school, people coming and going, part-time, that sort of thing, so that is challenging. Clinical support staff of 6 full-time employees, and the clinical support staff are people that are, their actual name is Senior Clinical Care Associates, but they're actually people that are at least medical associates or LPNs, but have some medical training. We have med techs in our stat lab, and those are supported by the Denver Health Labs. They are not actually my staff. One clerk, where at one point we used to have nurses and clerks, and it was 4 to 5 clerks and just RNs, but now we have the clinical support staff. Myself, and then one physician that's available to clinicians if needed. What we do is have an attending schedule. Attendings are scheduled for 4-hour slots, and we are calling them when needed, but it's actually the nurses that are seeing and diagnosing the patients. So as you've heard, we need to do more with less, as is the way we do healthcare in America today. And so this is what this is about, is trying to control resource allocation and make better use of what we can do. In 2004, we started doing express visits because of having to be forced to charge patients for clinic visits, where up to that point we had always done it for free. And actually, the express visit was developed as a way to go out to Denver County Jail and do testing out there. And we were doing it with unlicensed people. And basically what it was about was doing a blood draw and a urine test. The blood would be for HIV and syphilis and possibly hep C if it was indicated, and the urine test for gonorrhea and chlamydia. We were doing a brief risk assessment, and people that were positive were asked to return and we would give them medications. One of the things I did not mention, a picture of the triage, which it's really hard to see, but take my word for it. Before we started the triage system, we were having people come into an area back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, where now we've got a system set up so it's a process where people go from spot to spot to spot get things done. The other thing that happened that required us to do triage, two things. The rapid HIV test. Up to that point, people were coming in, taking a number, going back to the exam room. The practitioner was drawing the blood, and when we started doing the rapid HIV test, what was happening is the practitioner would draw the blood, take it to the lab, they'd be done with the exam before the HIV result was ready. So we thought about, let's do this stuff ahead of time so that when the clinician is seeing the patient, the result is already available. If that person is HIV positive, we've already called the state health department, we've already called our linkage to care people, we are ready to go with getting this person moved into the linkage to care process. The other thing that was huge, and I've talked about this before, was our electronic medical record system that went live on the fateful day of March 21st, 2005. Up to that point, we had been seeing up to 100 patients a day. That first week, when we went to our electronic process, we were seeing gruelingly about 40 patients a day. It was very difficult to get everybody on board with the electronic medical record system. We had nurses that had never used computers. It was grueling, but we've been doing it for a couple years. We've made lots of adjustments, and we're working to make the system work for us and work smarter for us. The wonderful thing about it is, in this electronic medical system, when you pull up a chart, you can see every single visit that that person has had in our system ever, including before 2005. So that's a wonderful thing. And what we're trying to do is make sure that anybody who gets tested through the STD clinic, HIV testing, studies, anything to do with Denver Public Health, STD testing, must be in that medical record system so we can have a big picture idea of what's going on with this person and what kind of testing is going on, what kinds of risks they're having. So an express patient visit is basically someone who is asymptomatic, who wants to come in and get tested, the worried well, which we all know about. But also, we're trying to focus on the low-risk people, non-MSM, IVDU. But what we are doing is when people come in that are high-risk, but they refuse an exam, which does happen, we are happy to take their blood and their urine or get them to do a vaginal exam because we are still testing them for the things that we're really worried about, for the most part. Yes, we'd like to do an exam. Yes, we try to talk them into it. But we will take their blood and we will get them to give us the self-collected specimen for gonorrhea and chlamydia testing. So basically, what the triage process is, and we started out using nurses to do triage, and I decided that that was really a waste of a very highly educated person who could do a lot more. And we trained our unlicensed people to do the triage, because basically what we need to know is, does this person have a symptom or not? Do they need to have an exam or not? Because there are lots of people that come to us that just want to be tested. Or they might be a contact to something, and they're asymptomatic. So what we're trying to do is make a decision at the very beginning, does this person really need an exam or not? Then we're asking them, have you been here before, so we can look at their medical record? Because a lot of the time, as you know, people are not telling us the whole story. So they might have been here just a couple weeks ago, or all kinds of things. So we're getting a good idea of what's going on with this person before we even go any further. Then we ask, do you have sex with men, women, or both? In a very basic way, because we are trying to determine, do we need to draw blood on this person? Controversial, but what we are doing is pretty much MSM only. We are testing them for HIV and syphilis every 3 months maximum. There are people that will come in once a week for an HIV test. We will not do it. We will do it every 3 months. For people that are low risk, which is pretty much everybody else, we are limiting it to annually. And that is what we stand with at the triage point. If, excuse me, we're telling the patients, you can discuss this with your clinician, and if it is warranted, we will draw the blood and do an HIV test and a syphilis test. But for the most part, we are doing HIV and syphilis on MSM every 3 months maximum, everybody else once a year. We are ordering a stat RPR right off the bat if there's any indication. Is this person complaining of a rash? The stat RPR costs pennies, and one of the things that used to happen, we would order the stat RPR after the clinician has already taken a look at the patient. We're waiting on that RPR. If we have that already waiting for the clinician as the person walks in the room, we're already ahead of the game as far as diagnosing this person. We're also doing urine pregnancy tests for anybody who wants EC, emergency contraception, birth control, or they're complaining of pelvic pain. We want to know if they're pregnant before we're doing certain things. So we're doing that, again, right up front so it's easy. We had to draw the line. At one point, we were even thinking, well, let's have the triage nurses do urethral Gram stains, but it was making us crazy. It was too much, but we did think about it. Then people go to the phlebotomy station, and they're getting their blood drawn. We always do blood draws. We're drawing a red top and a purple top. The red is for the RPRs, the stat RPRs, and Hep C if indicated, and the purple top for the HIV test. We are doing pooling right now, so anybody that tests negative on the rapid test is getting sent on to CDPHE for viral testing. One of the things we've also done is we've switched over to the Unigold, and it used to be Oraquick. We've had lots of false positives with Unigold. And so what we are doing in the clinic is every time we have a positive Unigold, we're also doing an Oraquick test. If they are discrepant, we are sending those people on for unpooled RNA testing. We're also going ahead and treating them as if they're positive, counseling them as if they are positive, drawing the CD4, the viral load, doing the Western blot. but we're highly suspicious that it's going to be negative. Anyone who tests positive for both, they've always been truly positive. We've had about 40 false positives within the last year, which is distressing for our clinicians, but we've learned how to deal with it. So the unlicensed personnel, like I said, I've got six of them, and they do the front desk, the phones, the clerical duties. They do triage, registration, phlebotomy, and vaccines. They're doing express visits. They are all being trained or in the process or actually already doing male exams. They're doing follow-up visits, medications, HPV treatments. They're doing supply and ordering, and they're in four-hour rotating slots, so they get to do different things all the time, which they really like. It makes it interesting for them. They're getting to learn a lot, but it makes it so much easier for the clinicians in the back. They are getting to see the complicated patients that they need to see without wasting their time looking for exam table paper, that sort of thing. So, of course, the RN clinicians are doing the male and female exams, birth control services. All of our clinicians do birth control. We do a lot of birth control at Denver Public Health. We do teen and continuity care, and those are actually primary care visits for people for ongoing birth control. And those are nurse practitioners, and right now we don't have any nurse practitioner slots, but we are building those in. The clinicians always do the treatment with LAB, and they're also precepting our very common students. Visits by the numbers, just a quick look. In 2004, we had about, 13,000 and a half exams, and we're heading back up towards that. Express, it said zero. We were actually doing some, but it's steadily going up, and we're running around 25 to 30% of our visits are express visits. Lots of follow-ups. Family planning, huge jumps in the numbers of birth controls that we're giving up, or giving out. CTS and express, one of the things that happened, we used to have a separate CTS program, but it is down in the STD clinic, and it is more and more becoming swallowed up by the STD clinic. In my mind, the only reason that we still have CTS is because it's the only way we can do anonymous testing. And quite honestly, I think that the time for anonymous testing is over. We're stigmatizing HIV. We want people to get tested. But we, by contract, we have to have anonymous testing, so we do. But in reality, our CTS people are doing express visits. They are offering syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia testing to all those people come in for HIV testing, unless they're anonymous testers. By diagnosis, interestingly enough, we're one of the GISP sites, the isolate study sites, and interestingly enough, gonorrhea has really dropped off in the last year or so. We're having trouble getting our 25 specimens for male urethral gonorrhea. Chlamydia is climbing, and again, our whole goal in the clinic is to see as many patients as possible to test them for these things. Syphilis, we've had numbers up and down, quite a bit of syphilis, and it's almost always MSM or foreign nationals. HIV, we do a lot of HIV and lots of HSV. And with all this, they're still waiting for 3 hours. Oh my gosh, you know, people are upset. We've retrained them, and what we've tried to do is control the door, but sometimes there'll be 30 people at the door. Okay, and in a nutshell, we have started an appointment system a whole week and a half ago or so, and what we're doing is same day and next day appointments, and what we're trying to do is when we get to a point when there's more than 10 or 15 people, and which is 15 minutes, most days anyway, we're offering them the opportunity to come back in the afternoon or the next day. People are keeping their appointments. People are actually calling to cancel and reschedule their appointments. We are offering appointments to people to come back for their syphilis treatment and their HPV treatment. We've had, an appointment book. We've had anywhere from 0 to 30% no-show rates. We've had anywhere from 20 to 50 appointments per day. We've had, I lost my thought. Oh well, because I'm down to 1 minute. I'm like, let me tell everything. But basically, that's where we're at. So what we are doing in the STD clinic at Denver Public Health is doing everything we can think of to make sure that we can see as many people as possible to do STD control. I mean, that is the point of what we're doing. We are trying to weed out the people, the worried well, help them with that. If they need counseling about what's going on, We're trying to give them that, but we are not letting them test as often as they want. It is up to us to decide what the patient needs, and we're doing that for them. So that's it in a nutshell. Excuse me.
We have time for one question, and it can't be from the old director of the clinic.
He's asking, why aren't we using Oraquick instead of Unigold initially? Because it's not our choice to buy it. We are being given the test that we get, and that is based on cost. Chasing me away.
Yes, I am. It was fantastic.
Oh, okay.